Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my daily politics podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, February 14th. Let's dig into this remarkable and maybe pivotal moment when President Trump's Attorney General William Barr, who has been seen as so much of a loyalist, gives a TV interview and asks the president to stop tweeting about his department and its cases and federal judges. Here's Barr on ABC.
In fact, the president has never asked me to do anything in a criminal case. However, to have public statements and tweets made about the department, our people in the department, our men and women here, about cases pending in the department, and about judges before whom we have cases, make it impossible for me to do my job and to assure the courts and the prosecutors in the department that we're doing our work with integrity.
Huh. So what just happened there? I mean, Barr's the one who twisted the findings of the Mueller report to defend Trump more than the Mueller report actually did. Barr's the one who defended Trump publicly from the impeachment charge. He wasn't on the legal team, but, you know, publicly he was defending Trump against abuse of power, rejected that charge. Then Trump appears to turn right around and abuse his power again in the case of Roger Stone. But this time, Barr criticizes him for it on TV.
And, I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary that undercuts me.
So remember the context and the background here, folks. And if you don't know it, prosecutors recommended a 7 to 9 year prison sentence for Trump friend Roger Stone for lying to Congress about his ties to WikiLeaks in the 2016 campaign, threatening a witness, and other crimes. Then President Trump tweeted that the recommendation of 7 to 9 years was excessive. Then Attorney General Barr intervened to reduce the sentence request. Then all four prosecutors on the case resigned from it in protest over what looks like a political favor by Barr for the president and his friend, and a further slide into strongman rule with Trump just ordering or asking the attorney general to alter a prosecution because he wants to. Barr maintains that he did that. He changed the sentence request before the tweet and without knowing about the tweet. And the tweets are just creating an appearance of a politicized Justice Department when there really isn't one. But he does genuinely think his prosecutors went too far with the 7 to 9 and says it is his job as Attorney General to make a final decision.
When people are working on one case and devoting a lot to it, they can sometimes lose perspective. And that's exactly why we have a system of checks and balances within the department with multiple level of reviews that fan out with people with broader and broader responsibility.
So again, what just happened here? Theories range from Barr and the president coordinating this as an act to create the false impression of Barr maintaining the professional rule of law at the Justice Department, to Barr actually being irritated with the president and the president being so upset with Barr that he now wants to fire him like he fired Jeff Sessions. The bigger picture question is, Trump at war with the checks and balances in American democracy, trying to establish that it's okay for him to use the government as his personal power tool like he did with foreign policy on Ukraine? And if so, is anyone in his administration willing to stand up to him? We'll talk to Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, New York Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee and one of the House impeachment managers. Barr has agreed to testify before Jeffries' committee later this month. Hi, Congressman. We always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Brian. Great to be with you.
What just happened here, in your opinion, with Barr going public like that?
Well, personally, I think it's a fake effort to push back publicly that lacks any scintilla of authenticity. If you look at William Barr's tenure as the Attorney General over the last year and some change, what we've seen is that he blatantly mischaracterized the Mueller report and gave President Trump space to lie to the American people that he was totally exonerated. Nothing can be further from the truth. Bob Mueller laid out 10 or 11 acts of obstruction of justice, some of which were clearly criminal conduct. Then you had the whistleblower complaint being hidden by the White House. At some point, reference was made to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice essentially said, nothing to see here, even though the president corruptly solicited a foreign government, pressured them to target an American citizen as part of an effort to cheat in the 2020 election. At minimum, there is something to see there, but William Barr turned a blind eye. Now you have a situation where about a week or so ago, it became clear that some channel had been opened so that William Barr and the Department of Justice can play footsie with Rudolph Giuliani, of all people, who's a failed mayor, a failed presidential candidate, a failed political lackey for Donald Trump, who's running around trying to execute Donald Trump's geopolitical shakedown of the Ukrainian government to try to target Joe Biden and solicit foreign interference in the 2020 election.
Let me jump in on that one for a second, because I'm sure the Trump people would say Rudy Giuliani should be heard by the Justice Department like any other private citizen if he thinks he's got evidence of a crime or some kind of corruption committed by Joe or Hunter Biden. Why would that not be the case?
Well, there actually is a process that is in place, the MLAT process, where you can work with a foreign investigative agency to the extent that there is any information that might implicate an American citizen that would rise to the level of a Department of Justice inquiry. And instead of pursuing that process from the very beginning, which is a congressionally authorized process, what we have is that Rudolph Giuliani, who is not the Secretary of State, not a member of the diplomatic corps, not an ambassador, he's a political hack operating on behalf of President Trump. And essentially, despite the fact that no one in the diplomatic or national security community thinks that Joe Biden broke any laws, you have Bill Barr opening up a channel of communication, which is clearly what the president wants.
Right. So I thought ABC's Pierre Thomas did a great journalistic job with Barr yesterday, following up to bring Barr out in more detail after his key answers. But you will get Barr in the context of your Judiciary Committee on March 31st. After hearing that interview, what might be some of your next questions, specific questions for the Attorney General, knowing the judgment of him that you have already made and just articulated?
Well, I think generally, and you frame this in your opening, Brian, as only you can do in an eloquent fashion, you know, is there anyone in this administration who is willing to really authentically stand up to this president who has launched an attack on our democracy? You know, the framers of the Constitution, and we spent a lot of time during the Senate impeachment trial trying to articulate this, create a system of government anchored in several principles. You know, checks and balances, separate and co-equal branches of government, the independent judiciary, the free and fair press, the preeminence of the rule of law, to name just five. This president, from day one, has launched a systematic attack on every single one of those principles. And yet, it appears that William Barr and others have been willing to turn the blind eye or to co-sign on that attack on our democracy. And so I think the fundamental question to ask Bill Barr in his capacity as Attorney General is, are you the president's personal lawyer or are you the people's lawyer, which has been the traditional view of the Attorney General?
Well, I imagine part of his answer to that question might be like something else he said to ABC, which was to describe why he genuinely thought that the 7 to 9 year sentencing request for Roger Stone was excessive. And as you heard in one of the clips we played, that it is his job as Attorney General to keep an eye on what the line prosecutors are doing in particular cases and whether they get too wrapped up in their cases, et cetera, as he said. Do you want to argue that Stone should get that much time for the 7 counts of obstructing the Russia investigation to protect Trump, lying to Congress about his contacts with Russia and WikiLeaks, and and witness tampering? Because a lot of people will say, well, those are bad, but they're nonviolent crimes. The president, you know, tweeted drug dealers and murderers don't always get 7 to 9 years. Really, 7 to 9 years? So if Barr were to respond to you that that really is excessive in his independent opinion, would you disagree?
Well, let's be clear. They're nonviolent drug dealers who, pursuant to the draconian Rockefeller drug laws that we finally repealed here in New York State, or the war on drugs that was launched at the national level with mandatory minimums, you know, nonviolent drug dealers or drug offenders in some instances, drug abusers with mandatory minimums of 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, sometimes 25 years to life. And so the president, once again, doesn't even know what he's talking about. In terms of Roger Stone, he is a corrupt criminal co-conspirator and is probably hiding information that would reveal wrongdoing committed by Donald Trump. That said, I haven't read the sentencing memo originally produced by the prosecutors to be able to make a determination. But I do believe that at that hearing next month, you will see us go through a variety of different cases that don't involve a close friend and political ally of the president, where we could legitimately argue that perhaps there was aggressive sentencing overreach by the Department of Justice under William Barr, and asked him the question, why didn't he intervene in those circumstances?
Here, to me, is an underreported part of the Barr interview. Trump's tweet said not only that Stone's sentence request was excessive, but the case should never have been brought against Roger Stone. But Barr specifically supported that prosecution and conviction to ABC yesterday. Listen.
Well, as you know, the Stone case was prosecuted while I was Attorney General, and I supported it. I think it was established he was convicted of obstructing Congress and witness tampering, and I thought that was a righteous prosecution. I was happy that he was convicted.
Any thoughts about Barr saying he was happy that Stone was convicted and that that was a righteous prosecution, also contradicting the president? Does that count as standing up to Trump from within his administration?
Well, that's probably the one part of the interview that annoys the puppet master sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue the most. And whether it has implications or not, we'll see in terms of Bill Barr's continued tenure. I mean, it seems like Donald Trump was very clear when he said, where's my Roy Cohn? I need somebody to protect me in the spirit of Roy Cohn, the infamous attorney who was a mentor of Donald Trump by President Trump's own admission in the past. And Bill Barr has come as close to being Donald Trump's Roy Cohn as one could possibly expect. So that was an interesting moment, I grant you that. But I interpret another part of the interview when he said, I cannot do my job if the president continues to tweet on these issues or at the Department of Justice, as meaning he cannot do his job to do the president's bidding, hidden from public view, if the president continues to put the scheme on Front Street, as we would say in Bedford-Stuyvesant. That, to me, seems to be the essence of what William Barr was saying, perhaps in communicating to the president, because again, as I detailed, the mischaracterization of the Mueller report, the looking away as it relates to the whistleblower complaint, the opening the channel to Rudolph Giuliani, everything that Bill Barr has done has been contrary to the sentiment that he's all of a sudden concerned with the Department of Justice becoming a wholly owned subsidiary of Donald Trump.
Trump seems to genuinely believe there's a deep state that's been biased against him, launching the Russia probe, then people reporting his Ukraine activities, while not prosecuting people in the Justice Department who may have used their power to politically weaken him as he sees it. That point of view, as you probably know, is on Fox and elsewhere as the main narrative day in and day out. And they mention Obama saying as president that he didn't think Hillary Clinton broke the law with her emails while the FBI was investigating that. And they ask, why is that different from Trump's tweet? They also point to President Clinton arranging to talk to Attorney General Loretta Lynch on an airport tarmac while the Hillary Clinton email investigation was going on. I see you tweeted about that comparison. But they feel like they have grievances. I don't think they're just making it up. that, you know, other things like this happen and they don't get prosecuted on that side. What would your response to that be?
Well, you know, I think it's unproductive for us on the Hill to spend a lot of time, you know, looking backward. We're going to look forward and continue to work on our kitchen table pocketbook issue agenda, health care costs, lowering those, protecting people with pre-existing conditions, strengthening the Affordable Care Act. That'll be our North Star. But if you actually look back, for instance, at this whole deep state conspiracy theory that I mentioned during the Senate trial is always their defense. What's interesting in the context, for instance, of the ultimate moment of presidential accountability, which was the impeachment of President Trump for corruptly abusing his power, that all of the witnesses who came forward, people like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman or Ambassador Bill Taylor or Dr. Fiona Hill or Ambassador Yovanovitch or even Gordon Sondland, who gave $1 million to Donald Trump's inauguration, these aren't never Trumpers. These are career diplomats, people who were Republican appointees, people who were working within the Trump administration who saw wrongdoing and, like patriotic Americans, came forward. And so I think the deep state conspiracy theory really falls apart if you look at President Trump's corrupt behavior in Ukraine and why it was exposed to the American people.
Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat from Brooklyn and Queens, New York City, and on the House Judiciary Committee and one of the impeachment managers. By the way, any regrets about impeachment now that it's all over, with Trump being so unleashed, apparently, to feel like he really can get away with anything now? Are we worse off in this respect than before we started?
No, we had to vindicate the principle that in America, no one is above the law, not even the President of the United States of America. And he was held accountable in the House. He was impeached. And the framers of the Constitution were very concerned about three things, the ABCs of abuse of power, right? Which is A, the abuse of power for one's personal interests, B, betrayal of one's oath of office through foreign entanglement, and C, corruption of our free and fair elections. President Trump hit the trifecta. And so we had to pursue presidential accountability in the form of impeachment. We absolutely have no regrets, and now it's in the hands, the precious hands of the American people.
Congressman Jeffries, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
And listeners, we want to invite you in on the conversation, too. If you've got a question about a national news item, whether it's something you want to know about the election or the Trump administration or anything else you think might fall under the national politics umbrella, give us a call and leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and your question. We'll collect those and keep them in our pocket for when I'm speaking with someone who can give you a good answer. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255, 844-745-TALK. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.